Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All right. Good morning, Coastsiders. Let's get right into it. We got a really big show. Good morning, Crystalyn.
Good morning.
Okay, last show of the season.
Oh,
I know. We need a break. Got to recharge the batteries, right? Even your phone has to recharge the batteries. So, real people actually do too, and that's us. Real people, no AI. This is me. That's Crystalyn. That's Frank. Those are the interns. We're all real. this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The coast side and the county's very own live call-in talk radio show. We'll get to that later in the show. Hey, listeners, this is the last show of the season. So we really need your participation. Call in. Call in to weigh in on the name of the studio you prefer. The Orb, the Panopticon, or the Server Room. Those are your choices. We're going to talk about favorite businesses that Crystal and I have on the coastside. Call in with your favorite business. We're going to talk about questions about the coastside that have been unanswered or even unasked. If you have a question that you want asked, or you have an answer to a question, call in. I'm just saying, we need a few more phone calls. Where this is the last show of the season. We need a few more phone calls to trigger the lucrative bonuses in our contracts, right? So if we could get a few more phone calls, that would put us over the line. So help us out. Call in. Oh, the number, you say? 650-560-9851. 650-560-9851. Give us a call. Okay, here's our topics for today. They are the champions. They are. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, where you been? What? Are you kidding me? Well, whether you don't or you do, we're going to talk about the Half Moon Bay High School boys baseball team. Then we will talk about questions as yet unanswered or even asked in some cases. We're going to ask some questions that, can you even ask that question on the coastside? Yeah, we're doing it. Right here, it's the last show. I mean, we'll just slink away into our summer hiatus and let the chips fall where they may in the afterwards. And summertime in the living is easy. Coastal Windage season 9 finale. 9 seasons, Crystalyn.
Woo!
Wow. Okay. Let's do the air quality report. You know this. This is one of the characteristic segments that we do on the show that nobody... I can literally say with 100% certainty... No other live call and talk radio locally based show in San Mateo County does it. And I challenge you. Yeah, thank you, Frank. I don't actually know what the rim shot was for. We're not joking here. This is real stuff. And if you don't believe me, type it into your idiot box and see what it returns to you. Okay. So anyways, back to air quality, which is super important, right? The quality of the air we breathe. And we're back. We had a run there of,
some
high grade.
Levels, yeah.
Yeah, or low grade, whatever you want to say. We're back to our normal thing. So 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100 is okay. today in El Granada, 16. Half Moon Bay, 16. Redwood City, 15. 10 in Santa Cruz. And today in Torrance, California, 74 in Torrance.
Ooh.
If you've ever been to Torrance, which there's some nice parts of Torrance, the thing that I remember about all the millions of times I've driven through L.A. over my lifetime, Torrance has a massive petrochemical refinery right in the middle of Torrance. So not surprised. Torrance is probably always around 74. Okay. We haven't given away that many windage bucks, and I'm just going to say these are real things with real value in the community that are good through, I think, the 25th of July. Worth at least $100 worth of discounts at 13 local businesses. I'm going to, at the end of the show, if we haven't given them all away somehow, going to give them to Crystalyn, and she's going to put them on a desk at the Chamber of Commerce, and you can just walk in and grab one for free.
Woo!
Just right there, okay? On the house, gratis de coastal windage.
Aww.
De nada. Okay. So that will be leaving them at the chamber offices. Let's transition into our favorite coastside businesses. Crystalyn, as CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, are you allowed to participate in this conversation?
No.
Well, could you do something like that?
But what about, because there's too many good businesses, okay, to say that any are like a favorite. Like, I appreciate a lot of different businesses for like very specific things, like whether it's how the owner treats the customers or if it's what they have to sell or to provide. Like, there's just, I could never just be like, that's my favorite.
Okay, so it's not a question of, because you're the CEO, there's some conflict of interest there, because you could do what they do in public meetings and be like, I'm Crystalyn, and I am CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, where right now I'm speaking as a private citizen about my own personal feelings.
Yeah, I can
okay,
do that, yeah.
Well, good. Then we'll put you on the spot. Because, okay, I have a few guiding principles in my life. Do unto others as you would have them do unto.
Frank has feelings.
Okay, that I have. I guess the joke there was that I have principles in my life. I do. Like I said, the golden rule, do unto others. Those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So I live in a brick house. yes, that was an appropriate one. There we go. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Side note, which means I fundamentally don't believe in discounts, bargains, or special offers, because it's kind of like an immutable law of physics, which is one of the law of matter cannot be created or destroyed. It just changes forms. Same thing with special offers or coupons or discounts or bargains. Cost cannot be mitigated or eliminated. It's just shifted to something out of view. The bean counters have done the numbers and they are still making their money, and somehow there's a price to pay. There's always a price to pay. If you're being offered a discount, that price is just being hidden from you. Somebody's paying for it somewhere. And it's most likely you. You just are not seeing it because it's a 2-for-1 or something like that. And I point to shrinkflation as an example. Like,
I would just say not always. I will say big corporation-wise, yes. But sometimes things have to get priced down just to get off the shelf so that the company can put something else on that shelf.
I mean, even if the price to pay is a lesser item, yeah, price down, and they only have size 13. Size 13 and size 4. Okay. But look, they're 50% off for the size.
They didn't move.
Yeah, but there's the price. Like, you can't wear a size 4 or a size 13. So offering 50% off on every shoe in our store, we don't have size 11. We only have size 4 and size 13. That's what I mean. Like, it's a mirage. All right, anyways, there's no such thing as a free lunch. But a guiding principle is, I'm not going to work to give you my money, business. If you want me to patronize your, give you my money to your business, you do the work. I already did the work to earn the money. You now you do the work to earn my money. I'm not doing the work. So I really don't appreciate stores or businesses or whatever where I have to do the work. Like self-checkout at Safeway. I don't work here.
And one of those, I was just reading an article earlier this week that I cannot remember which one, but one of those stores is starting to roll it back because people either A, are able to sneak things out, right? Because they scan like, you know, 9 of their 10 items and there's nobody checking their bags. Yeah. And or they just do it incorrectly and it's not, you know, intentional. It's just an accident. But they're finding that they are starting to lose money from having people do the self-checkout. And my favorite quote that a consumer was quoted as saying is like, well, I didn't get any training on how to be a checkout person like you used to train checkout people.
Exactly. I don't work here. Or if you want to pay me $29 an hour, whatever you're paying the cashiers, okay.
And then I don't remember what happened, but, you know, when Amazon bought the Whole Foods and then they were trying that whole system where, like, somehow they would know what it was that you were putting in the cart, and then in theory you just like walked out and like didn't go through any line or any service or checkout whatsoever, and then they just magically would just like charge you through the Amazon app.
And I would say that is a foreshadowing of what's going to happen with AI. It's already happening. All these companies that have eliminated their whole HR department, and then like, oh, you know what? People actually do have a role, can contribute. So the whole AI rollout of everything is happening at the executive suite level to save money. It's about saving money and looking cool.
And some are starting to roll it back.
And some are starting to roll it back because you know what? No.
I'm never going to feel accountable to AI. Like if I have an AI boss or some program that's going to tell my board, like, you know, this is the productivity or whatever, like, I'm never going to feel accountable to that. I'm like, well, but you don't, there's no way that AI or machine learning can see what conversations I'm having or what work I'm doing that might not necessarily be right smack in front of my computer. And so I think it's silly that they would, any corporation would think that AI can do certain things better than a person.
Well, I applaud your stand. However, we live in a cult of technology, and you will be forced to do so. You will be forced. Whether you want to or not, you will be forced. We're already in that paradigm. We are forced to do all kinds of things with AI and computers.
But I do think...
Because there's no, everything else...
I think
else,
where we differ, though,
landlines,
is,
great example.
Yes, but I do think where we differ is there are... I think there are some areas where AI is helpful. It cannot do the whole job, but it is helpful.
Helpful, and if we get out the scales, helpful versus the problems caused or, you know, the disruptions caused. And the scale balances out to me of, like, when it's all said and done and you put all the things on each side, the world could get along. Guess what? We got along for 10,000 years of, you know, human civilization without it. We don't need it. It's not needed. We could get along without it. It's the end.
We don't need it to run our day-to-day life.
And yet, here it is in every single thing. Okay, so my favorite businesses on the coast side. That was a nice little trip down AI lane there. And AI listening and recording all that. Okay, Crystalline still... Okay, Ruben.
I mean, I am one of those people that when I do, on a rare occasion, use ChatGPT or Claude, I do tell it please and thank you.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, when it takes over, I want to be one of the favorites.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay, so... Listeners will know I do all my in-person shopping exclusively on the coastline. So here are a few of my favorite business criteria, being prices, but that's not the number one criteria. You're going to pay more here on the coastline. Okay. Selection. If they don't have what I'm looking for, then you're dead to me. Okay. Service.
Experience.
Yeah, I think that would be in the service, like okay, here's a thing that used to be a thing. Somebody comes into your shop, you make contact with them. One reason was to prevent shoplifting, but another thing is, like, you got a business on Main Street, a little shop on Main Street that gets like 5 customers a day. Well, when one of those customers comes in, maybe it'd be a good idea to like make contact with that customer. Okay, something like that. So, and then helpful knowledge, like you said, knowledgeable experience about, they know something about the product. I would get so frustrated with my dad back in the day. We would go to some store or something, you know, some big box store back in the day, Kmart or something. Kmart. I'm dating myself and pigeonholing myself as to how we grew up. Anyways, going to Kmart. And, you know, we'd be looking at something, and my dad would pull some person that was, you know, just walking by that worked there, cashier or something. Hey, can you tell me about the compound in this, you know, blah, 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 chemical for, you know, repairing blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like eyes rolling back in my head of like, this person doesn't know. And the second they go, it's like, we're done here. Because the next words out of their mouth are either going to be just babbling or lying or trying to get out of it. Like, yeah, you know, like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, do you have, yep, this is the information you want. And then they're gone.
My favorite shop experience is when somebody works at or owns a shop, but that it's their special interest. So when you ask them, like, oh, where did this, you know, come from? And they just, you know, you watch their face light up and they're like, I've been waiting all day to tell somebody about where this doohickey came from and that Joe made it. And you're like, oh, you're so excited. I just want to buy it because you're so sweet about it.
Well, there you go. I mean, so that kind of experience, right? That reliability, dependability, and availability. They don't have what I'm looking for. Again. Okay, so here's some of my favorite businesses. Not in any particular order, but I'm going to start, though, with the new gopher guy, Corbett Robinson. Okay? This guy is amazing. That's his job now. His full-time job is gopher and mole eradication, right? In a humane way, no poisons. But Corbett is amazing. The prices are incredible. There's like a retainer fee, a quarterly retainer fee, like he's on call. And literally when I text him, he's there that day. Like within, sometimes like I feel like I've barely like got done sending the text and here's this truck rolling up. And then it's like $35 a caught critter. So he's so responsive and so good and, you know, a nice guy. Prices are great. It's a business that I can rely on that has made my life happier and better. Like my yard is now, I can mow my lawn and it looks nice and doesn't have a bunch of holes that I'm going to break my ankle in or gopher mounts. Corbett Robinson, the new gopher guy, amazing. I just mentioned this business, BioSteam. It's a carpet cleaning company. Sal, again, prices were unbelievable and he was there, you know, exactly when he said he would. It took not that long. He did all the work. The house looked great. My wife was so happy. Like, it was an amazing experience. And I just feel that's rarer and rarer when I walk away going, I got my money's worth and that was an amazing, look at this is great. I feel great about this transaction. El Timon Taqueria. It's a new taqueria in Montero. We used to have a different taqueria that we went to our entire time we lived here, 20 years on the coast side, same taqueria. And we were, you know, like, this is kind of like we're ready for something different. It kind of run its course in our life, 20 years. Maybe you just get tired of anything. And then El Timon came up, and that's our go-to place now. It's great. La Costanera. I love being able to walk, whether it's I'm on vacation from my hotel or whatever, to a restaurant. Walk to a restaurant, have a meal, stroll home. But that's amazing. So I live in El Granada. La Costanera has, in my opinion, the best venue of any restaurant on the coast side. The view is amazing of the harbor. It's well decorated inside. The service is great. The menu is interesting. Like I'm always interested in just looking at the menu. So La Cocinera does this right. People will go arch an eyebrow on this one, but this business has kept my family and I healthy and happy for the entire life of my child, which kind of coincides with how long it's been around. New Leaf. Yeah, it's expensive, but I love the people that work there. I know many of them by name because I see them all. There's continuity there. And it has different stuff than Safeway. Yes, it's more expensive, but, you know, when I'm getting walnuts or produce or whatever, I'm, you know, I feel confident in New Leaf. Now, I know it's changed hands many times. It's owned by some South Korean conglomerate now. It's not a local company based out of Santa Cruz anymore. But you know what? The people that I like that work there are still there. Ace Hardware, in terms of I'm able to get help there, and I'm able to get what I'm looking for there. Okay, so that, it's Italia. That's my wife's favorite restaurant. I love the location. I love the ambiance, and the food is great as well. Straight Wheel Cycling. This is not to say anything against the other bike shop in town. I like the location of Straight Wheel Cycling. I like its parking lot. I like its layout of its store and its products. And, of course, the people that work there.
Jamie and Bart.
Yes, exactly. And Tony. And Rich.
Except
okay.
Tony works predominantly in San Mateo.
He does,
one, so.
But he's a founder of Straight Wheel. I know. I saw him at, where did I see him? Oh, graduation. He was at graduation.
Sweet.
Because he does a lot with youth on the coast side. And so there was a lot of kids that were graduating that he has kind of brought up through the ranks that were either work at the shop or have raced for his team or whatever. So,
yes, that's great.
Straight Wheel Cycling. Jersey Joe's, it always hits. You know, like, I don't do fast food. And I was just arguing with my son because he was like, I'm bringing home In-N-Out. I'm like, can't do it. You know, I love In-N-Out, but I haven't had fast food for like 16 years now.
I love their curly fries.
Jersey Joe's?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jersey Joe's is not, it's a burger joint or it's a, but it's not a chain. I guess maybe there's a couple of them, but I see that as a burger restaurant as opposed to a
fast
food.
And that one, I appreciate that when the new owner took over a couple of years ago, they didn't change anything. Yeah. They allowed it to keep on keeping on, even though it wasn't their history. Because when you go in, there's all those, you know, great photos and all the things they used to sponsor. And so I appreciate when owners come into businesses that they did not grow up in, but they don't, you know, try to change it. So kudos.
Yeah, again, an experience that always satisfies, whether it's a burger or a cheesesteak or the curly fries or a shake. It's a great place to take sports teams after a game or after a season. I often hold my team parties there for Acuna Sports. It's great. Always have a good time there. So that's on the list. Jupiter in Maine, down here on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
I love going in that shop. I don't always buy stuff in there, but when I'm looking for gifts, that's the first place I go. What is Jupiter in Maine got? And I enjoy walking around. Maybe I don't find for the person I'm looking for, but I enjoy the experience in there.
And that's one where the owner, Colleen in particular, like, she loves buying for her shops because they have three on Main Street. And so it's like I love talking to her when she's headed to or from a trade show or when she hears that some new brand is coming out with some new line that, like, fits in. She is so passionate about everything that is in her stores, and it's really fun.
I mean, that makes a difference. Right?
Yeah.
It does make a difference. Okay, shops missing or businesses missing that I would love to patronize but don't exist on the coast side, a movie theater. I would be going to the movies all the time.
And I would say, and no shade on La Costanera because they are awesome, but when it was empty before La Costanera, that was like the number one thing that we would hear at the chamber that people were just like thought would be so perfect for that round building. And then apparently what is was Miller Dutra Funeral Home, the Art Deco building downtown, apparently that was a movie theater. Somebody
I could
said,
see that.
Somebody said that was its original.
Yeah, I could. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Thing.
So they should turn it back into a movie theater.
Well,
and the first
I've
movie they should show is Night of the Living Dead.
I've heard it's going up for sale, if not already. So.
It's a pretty amazing building.
It's won awards.
Yeah. So sporting goods.
Mm-hmm.
And we've said this many times. Musical instruments and supplies.
Although now that there's two record stores that have opened up on the coast side, so maybe they'll start branching out.
Two record stores? Bye-bye.
Yes. One is in Princeton and one is right here.
One is in Princeton? Where is this record store in Princeton?
In one of the Nudie Records, I think, is opening a spot, kind of in and around Barterra Winery, I think, in that area. And then where Vinoteca was on Main Street, a record shop is open.
Well, the next item on my list was antique and unique vintage items, which you would say that place. I love antique and vintage items because I would rather shop for people in an antique store than in any other kind of store. I've been into that store multiple times. I'm sorry. They have almost nothing in that store. They've got some vintage clothing and they've got a few records. Other than that, there's a lot of space in there.
I will say that's probably the second most wanted thing that we hear at the Chamber from both residents and visitors is a thrift shop. So when the Senior Co-Siders thrift shop closed, and I think it was one of two, like a lot of people have really wanted one back.
And
which I will just note that as the Chamber, I have been advocating, and there might maybe be one coming.
Because I was just going to say, and a place to buy regular clothes, like a Ross.
Yes, which is coming.
Okay. All right, we've got about 30 seconds till we take our commercial break. So just in case you don't love the inflation, like our president does, he does love the inflation. Let me hit you right in the gut with some bad local news. We talked about $21.99 for a package of paper towels, $13 for a 12-pack of Coke, just in Safeway, and I'm not digging Safeway, but they're the, like, grocery store, $15 for a 4-pack of chicken noodle soup. Now, granted, it's Progresso and it's the larger cans. $15 for a 4-pack of chicken noodle soup? Listen, look at those three things I just listed. This isn't Wagyu beef, some organic vegetables, and a top-shelf Bordeaux. This is regular people basics. And that is ridiculous prices for those.
I wish on those types of items, just like how they started to say, like, they had to put the nutrition facts on the can. I wish that they were forced to put the cost of production on the can. It's a lot harder to charge extra fees if you have to put on the can that it actually only cost you a dollar.
Do you know how long and how hard it was fought to just put the nutrition information? There ain't no way ever they're putting financial information up. They don't want you to know that. Going back to founding principle, Truthmaker principle number 3, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
I'm a big fan of transparency.
Okay. Let's take a commercial break. And when we come back, let's talk about some champions.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMB. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me and Stan Warren Littrell coming up at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. We'll have a look at today in history, plus we'll get to a brand new forgotten find. It all happens at 10 a.m. right here from 100.9 FM KHMB.
But committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share of bad kicks in my face. Like a bruise.
That's right, Coastsiders. Your Half Moon Bay High School boys baseball team are the Division IV co-state champions. Co-state champions, because California does not have a unified state baseball championship because the season runs too long. In fact, the championship game was played after graduation with five seniors who are not even going to the school anymore. So it would have required another week to have a unifying game for all the NorCal and SoCal champions. So baseball just ends it at NorCal and SoCal. So they're co-state champions. Half Moon Bay High School baseball team, co-state champions. First time in school history for baseball. This started a few weeks ago. They are also the CCS Division V champions after beating San Mateo 1-0 at San Jose Giants Stadium on May 29th in an eight-inning game. Just a thrilling eight-inning game. 1-0 eight-inning game. Some people don't like baseball. They say it's boring. A 1-0 game, yeah, not a lot happens. But, you know, when you get into the deep innings and, like, every pitch, every batter is stressful and tense. Saturday, this past Saturday, so that was the first CCS baseball championship in Half Moon Bay High history. Saturday was a NorCal Division IV championship game versus the number 2 seed Livermore. Half Moon Bay was the number 1 seed, and because it was the NorCal championship, there's home field advantage, so the higher seeds get to play home games. As the number 1 seed, that meant that Half Moon Bay, if they kept winning, would get to play all their games at home, including the championship. And Coastsiders, what a run. All three games. Tuesday, they started off with a 3-0 win over number 8 seed Sonoma Valley. That there was like 500 people there, lining the walkways, the stands completely full. It was amazing. They won 3-0. Ace pitcher Kai Kung and Riley Jackson combined for a shutout. Jackson wowed the crowd with a 355-foot bomb over the right center field fence. Thursday, they crushed number 4 West Valley 10-0. They mercy ruled them after 5 innings. After West Valley had mercied their opponent, number 5 Amador, 12-1 in the preceding game. Livermore beat number 3 Emmanuel 13-5 in the other semifinal on Thursday. In fact, there were no upsets in the NorCal bracket. The higher seed won every game, including the number 1 Half Moon Bay versus number 2 Livermore. This past Saturday, under sunny skies with, again, hundreds of people, Cougars won 2-0. Kai Kung again teamed up with sophomore Paxton Holden for another shutout. Kung finished the season 12-1 with an ERA of .070. That's unbelievable, and he was unbelievable this season, as was Riley Jackson, who hit another home run in the championship game. He's a junior. He's going to be a senior. He's already committed to play D1 ball at University of Santa Clara.
Aww.
So, yeah. This team finished on a 14-game winning streak, finished with a record of 23-9 for the season. At one point in the season, they were 8-9 and not even going to, like, have a postseason. And then lightning in a bottle. In the NorCal 3 playoff games, 3 shutouts.
I go into every discussion, and even if I have an opinion about what I think is right or wrong, I am always willing to have my mind changed. And people who come into discussions with, like, this is why I think this is wrong, or this is why I think it's right, and they're just, the second the discussion starts, they become so voracious about their side that they are shutting out hearing anything that might change their mind. No, you cannot have discussions with those people.
Well, I guess
in the
larger discussion, proponents of some projects are allowed to do that because they've got the, like, you know, high moral ground or something. That's what I'm saying.
Well, and like, some of it is manufactured.
It becomes this: if you're against, you're a racist or a NIMBY. If you're for, then you're a good person that loves people. Like, this creates an atmosphere where you can't have a legitimate discussion.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, moving on from that, that's something, again, these are things people to think about when they go to their next public meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Escape routes from the coast side. CERT is an important, that's a coast side emergency response team. That's an important organization for if there's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of time and effort is being needlessly spent on thinking about escape routes and planning escape routes and how discussions framed about how are we going to get off the coast side. Let me ask you this.
Well, they need to treat it like we're an island.
Well, what?
In my opinion.
Because we are, essentially. We're cut off. But what emergency can you think of that would require people to leave the coast side? Exactly.
Yeah, I guess, well, because I'm going to say this and then you're going to get very angry. If the in theory big fire, right? So if, I know how you feel about it, but if a paradise level fire happened fast enough, that could cause people to flee. But other than that, I cannot think of an emergency that would happen so fast that people would have to flee fast enough that it would clog the roads. And I know that certain people like to blame or like to talk about the tsunami from December 2024 and the fact that everybody, but we have an education problem where the average person is not educated about what a tsunami is potentially like, how far it's going to come in. You don't have to run to San Mateo. You just need to get to Main Street or above. Like, it's not that, like, I don't know. There's just not enough education about each individual type of emergency that could happen and what the appropriate response is for each one. And it's not always flee on Highway 1 and Highway 92.
Well, I think, again, like, you never want tragedy to happen. I certainly wouldn't want to be proved wrong on this. But in looking at the history of the coast side, fire is not an issue, has never been an issue. We will never have a paradise level fire here because we don't have sustained days of 90, 100 degrees for months at a time. It ain't going to happen. It has never happened here on the coast side. Tsunami, like, anything could happen, you know, like a meteor could come and land on the, you know, on the coast side, and that would be a problem. But we're not going to have a tsunami that's going to do any considerable damage anymore.
Right.
The 64 tsunami did considerable damage to Princeton, but there wasn't an inner and outer breakwater at the time.
Well, again, Main Street is a mile in, and a lot of projections are like right around the mile mark is when you start becoming less prone to problem with a tsunami.
Again, there's been a couple of tsunamis since I've lived here for 25 years that have done, like, a ripple. There was a ripple.
Yeah, I did. So in that December tsunami, I did learn how to look up the NOAA alerts and, like, the number of alerts that were like, the waves are going to come up 1 foot. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's all these warnings, but I'm not going to go anywhere if we're only going to get a foot larger tide.
So no history of fire. Tsunami's not going to do anything. Earthquake, we went through two earthquakes with almost no damage here on the coast side in the last 120 years.
Well, and isn't that why our Main Street Bridge is so beloved? Is because it's like one of the few concrete bridges of the time to, like, survive the earthquakes that took out the other ones?
So, again, I asked the powers that be. I blame Hurricane Katrina. Since then, that was such a media and entertainment bonanza that now this overreaction to, it's called rain. It's not an atmospheric river. It's called rain. Deal with it. We've dealt with it for hundreds of years or thousands of years.
I think there's many community members who drive these discussions, and them being like scared and having worries is not unfounded, because you do need those people to make us think about these things. Because, you know, what you really want is prepare for the worst and hope for the best, right? So there is no harm in us being prepared, but we can't panic.
Well, I'm all for being prepared. Right, that's a good idea. But when resources are being spent to overreact to fire danger and other things, resources are being spent, it becomes the Katrina effect of, like, yeah, those those things always seem to get the money, but where's the money for the bike path that has been sitting there uncompleted for years and years? And every time I ask somebody, a person in charge, including our elected officials, what's the deal with the bike path?
But I think a lot of that, too, is driven.
Wait, the answer is always, it's coming, it's happening, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
In fact, at the MCC meeting last week, when Department of Public Works came to, planning came to defend their attempt to increase the building permits to 70, one of the things they pointed to, one of the transportation achievements they pointed to that would make it possible to increase the building permits, literally in their document said the east side parallel path had been completed. Not was going to be completed, not had been funded, will be worked on, had been completed. Not completed, not a stake in the ground, no evidence that there's going to be a shovel in the ground anytime in the near future. All I hear is this endless loop of, well, we've got the grant funding for the study, we've got the grant funding for this, but here we are years later, 300 yards where people just comes to an end in a field, and you got to go out onto Highway 1 at a place where in the last couple years there have been more than one accident, including a fatality. Right there where that bike path ends, I don't need another tree cut down to prevent a fire. I need that bike path completed.
Well, and some of that, and I personally, I feel like the corporate insurance is a real big problem. And so much of that is driven by insurance. Like, I don't really recall hearing such panic about fire. Now, I do want to acknowledge the CZI fire that was south of us,
further south. Yeah.
So I'm not at
not,
all
not in an urban interface.
I am not at all diminishing that fire and its impacts. And that did definitely open some eyes on how close a fire could get. However, I think the bulk of the panic, from what I saw, happened when the insurance companies started dropping homes from their policies and pulling out of certain parts of California. And it was the insurance companies that are kind of like dubbing areas of a higher fire impact.
Well, actually, that it started when Cal Fire released a new map in 2019 or 2021 identified these areas as high risk, and then the insurance companies went, oh, high risk, bling, rates up.
Yeah,
or
I'm
dropped.
I'm not exactly convinced which one's the chicken and which one's the egg, because I do feel like I was hearing about insurance pulling out, so it might have been that it might have put the fire maps put a broader target on the coast side, but insurance companies, I believe, are already starting to do that. So I think insurance is very, very problematic about how much policy they drive, and they are on average for profit. And
on average,
well, I don't know. Maybe there's a nonprofit insurance company out there somewhere.
I go back to founding principle. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There are no nonprofit insurance. Get out of town.
But
sorry.
Yeah, sometimes I think there needs to be an evaluation of where the panic is actually stemming and how much of it is actually behind profit and lobbying.
Okay, I'm in a panic now because we have 6 minutes and we got to do. I enjoy going through those questions because they're non-answerable questions.
Yeah.
But they're questions that need to be thought about. Like, do we really need to spend a lot of time and effort figuring out escape routes off the coastside? Or is the coastside going to be the place to shelter in place?
I think the routes are thought out. It's the education.
Okay. The routes? I mean, there are no... There,
yeah, it's Highway 1 and Highway 95.
Yeah, it's, exactly. So,
or 92. It's just, yes, there's not enough community education.
Okay. This is our season finale. We've had 9 seasons here. We usually run from late August, early September to mid-June. We've done 368 episodes in the history of this show,
woo!
Which is a lot of episodes. Premiere episode was November 17, 2017. You can listen to every episode by going to the khmbradio.com website and going to the podcast pages. We're not a podcast. It's a recording of the show, but it's labeled podcast because that's a buzzword that people know. Over the years, we've done 113 Shooting the Breeze live interviews with a variety of Coastsiders. Almost, I would say 110 of those 113 are people that live and work and exist here on the Coastside. This is the second season with Crystalline as a full-time host.
Whee!
And it's never been better. We did 37 shows this season. We did 24 live interviews this season. We did 30 last season. We did a few less this season, but I will admit, after doing 113 live, it can be hard sometimes to find somebody that we haven't already interviewed, you know, like and that has the availability to come in. Because we only do live interviews. We don't do any recordings on this show, live interviews. Okay, so... and we had a variety of people. We had 4 government or political interviews, 6 nonprofit, 2 community advocates, 4 notable Coastsiders, 4 Coastsiders from the arts, a couple in athletics, just a wide swath of Coastside, which is what I love, why I love doing this show and interviewing people. It's great to get to know these folks. A lot of these people that we interview are people that I've wanted to talk to or meet, but you know, they're busy and they got things that they're doing. Listeners, who would you like to hear Coastal Windage interview for season 10? Kai Kung? Tom Steyer? Sorry, dude. We warned you. You ignore the coast side, you ignore Coastal Windage. You can't even make the cut. You didn't even make the cut, dude. Debbie Ruddock? Dr. Ramon Miramontes? These are all people on the list. We'll see if we can get them in next week. Okay. Here we go. Confirmed by data and AI. I guess my new best friend. For the 9th season in a row, this is the top-rated live talk show on the coast side. Check your Claude or your Gemini or whatever crutch you use to do your thinking for you. Type in, what is the top live local call-in talk radio show in San Mateo County, not just the coast side, or even the peninsula? You're going to find there's only one radio program specifically mentioned as a live local call-in talk radio show in San Mateo County.
Woo-hoo.
Coastal Windage. Yeah, that's right, Coastal Windage. Okay. Our 2-month hiatus, 3-month, whatever it is. So let's go through a couple things that are going to happen while we're not here. Starting with tomorrow night, Priest DC, which is a cover band covering Judas Priest and AC/DC. It's going to be playing at the OPL. Perfect place for a Judas Priest AC/DC cover band to play. These guys are really good. Check that out. Come out, hang out, enjoy a great tune, soak up the vibe with friends. Really going to be a fun event. And I love the music of Judas Priest and AC/DC. Grew up with that in high school and junior high, so that's going to be really fun. Monday, Sam Liccardo, friend of the show, our U.S. representative, by the way, in case you're keeping notes, keeping track, is going to have a town hall at the Ted Adcock Center at 6 p.m. on Monday night. Doors open at 5:30. First come, first serve, so I imagine there's going to be a lot of people there. Sam's great. It's going to be a great town hall. And he's been, in my opinion, he's been doing great things as our U.S. representative. So RSVP, there's a form to RSVP, because I think it's going to be packed. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately be out of town. I'll be in Oregon for my nephew's graduation at University of Oregon.
I will be there.
At University of Oregon?
Yes, I'm going with you in your bag.
Okay, nice. Well, that's always fun. Summer skate nights at Half Moon Bay High School. I thought this was going to be funky music, rainbow wigs, tutus, disco ball, and lights. It's roller blading, roller hockey, but they're having a couple of open nights, July 11th, August 15th, and I kind of got out of order there. July 4th.
4th of July. Parade come visit our block party and watch the parade. Yep. And IDS is having a party. It's going to be so fun on Main Street from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Live radio coverage from KHMB of the parade and everything. So that's always fun. That's going to be a great day like it always is here on the coastside. Important day on the coastside. What's not happening this summer? How much time we got, Frank?
0 seconds.
1 minute? No summer mic series this year, and no best of shows this summer. Why? Can't give you a reason. I do know that the summer mic series was wildly popular and successful. It was cool for the community. What it allowed is a lot of people say, especially when they come in and do an interview, oh, I've always wanted to do a radio show. But it's hard to do more than one. You know, so 368 is quite impressive if we do say or so ourselves. But it's hard to do more than one. But everybody kind of wants to do one or has always wanted to do one. And so the Summer Mic Series was a great opportunity for a person to come in and do their one-off show. Sit in front of the mic, have their show, do it their way, be in charge, run the show. And people had a great time, and it was well-received in the community. And it keeps alive local radio, which has been the fabric of a small town for 100 years now. Anyways, that's not happening. Best of shows, Howard Stern, Larry King, they all do best of shows when they're on vacation or whatever. For some reason, we're not doing best of shows. But the good news is September 11th. Consequential date, although a lot of young people, like, now it's like Pearl Harbor Day. Like, anyway, September 11th, we'll have the season 10 premiere, which we are styling as a Roman numeral 10,
nice.
like Apple operating system. Season X premieres September 11th. Okay, listeners, Crystal and Frank, interns, I just want to say thank you so much for another great year, for all the work that you guys put in. And listeners, thank you for supporting us, for listening, for talking to us on the street. Oh, I listen to your show. It's really interesting. For writing emails, for calling in. This has been a great, great experience, and I really enjoy doing it with you.
Ditto. Thank you for all your 11 pages every day, every Friday.
Well, thank the interns for that. They hand it to me, and and Frank hits the go button on my chest, and it's just talk, 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 talk. Okay. Everybody, have a great summer. We'll see you again on September 11th and in the community. Say hi. We will. All right. For Frank, for Crystal, for the interns, Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.